Phela mina ngiyinsizwa mina. Insizwa.
Oh yes, oh yes. Welcome to this another episode of the Shady Podcast. And boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to talk about. Crazy weekend, character building weekend, in my opinion. In my very humble opinion.
Personal character building or nation character?
Nation character building, okay? Lots to talk about. Now, my dialogue, there's a lot to talk about. And that's why we bring in the best of the best to help us talk on all things South Africa, whether it's the lay of the land.
It's a sauna. Today's show is a sauna.
Kisona nyana.
Kisona.
Yeah, my podcast.
Kisosa. State of the show.
Introducing someone who's killing it right now when it comes to everything South Africa. I'm not going to speak on what she does, but I'm rather just going to introduce her. And I was dying to say it. I was almost going to say her intro, but I'll let her say it. In the building, make some noise and show some love. Amahle Imvelo Chaka. In the building.
Yeah.
Jax, what's happening?
Hi, guys.
Come on. You don't say.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Jesus.
How's it?
Tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Finally, we're glad to have you on the pod.
It's been a long time coming.
For the state of the pod address.
Yes.
Sopa.
Yeah, we've been meaning to get you here, but so thank you very much for coming through and gracing us. You're a busy lady.
Hey.
You're a busy lady. Everyone wants to left, right, and center.
Yeah? And I don't go to other people's podcasts.
I know.
And she like you from the hometown.
Yeah. Shout out.
Yeah. The plug. Otherwise, we weren't going to let her into Paula.
She's like, no, the bouncers.
Come on. Yes.
Like, I know the bouncers. I'm going to watch
it. Come on. Get out.
But yeah, guys, how was the weekend? How was your weekend?
Box boy, you're breaking my heart. Yeah. I won't lie to you. That was my main thing this weekend, watching the Springboks at my friend's house, and then obviously the shock and horror of losing.
Watching the Springboks throw the match.
I think that's what upset me the most. Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, we were beaten.
Yeah.
Yes. It was just like, oh, we just lost the game for ourselves.
In the last 20 minutes of the game. That's the other thing.
Like, also, Australia's been so down lately that it was a surprise. I didn't think it was going to be easy.
Sure.
But I just didn't expect that. So I was just confused.
I said it to you as well. I was like, in fact, I said it to both of you that this was a character building like loss. As in, I would rather lose here now than lose to a very strong Argentina, All Blacks or Ireland or whatever. And then it's like, hey, now it's scratching our heads. Here it's like, hey, gents, you guys were on a high horse. There's too much commercial. Like, bro, there's so much happening around the box.
Bro,
right,
everything
now
is bok.
Yes.
Bok. Everywhere like it goes, bok.
Hey, new contract here, this, that, the other. It's a photo shoot. It's this, like.
It's a show. It's a new shop. It's an old school shop.
Yes.
It's ads on.
The one in Sandton City.
Bro.
I saw that.
And, you know? Which is cool. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm a patriot.
Yes.
But I actually think that this loss was a good thing. That's why I was like, the Owens, they let them win.
Sure.
It's just
because it's like,
there's no such thing.
And I
had a fierce debate about this because they were like, oh, what if we let them win? There's no such thing in sports. We lost the game. We were complacent. We weren't playing like how we usually play.
Because
what I was saying is that, like, you know, one of the best things about the final, the New Zealand final, was that both teams really played and put it all on the field. And that's why when we look at New Zealand, we can say, sharp. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can be like, well done, boys, as well.
Mm.
This was just like, we just lost the game.
We kind of let them.
So many errors in that final 20 minutes.
And that's why I say they threw the game. Because did you see the betting odds on the game?
Brother. No. And I wanted to speak about that. I was like, if I had bet on this weekend, like how I thought it would work out, I'd be bawling. Because I was like, I know on Twitter they're calling him Kamza. But what's his name?
Kamza the Small.
Yeah, Kamza the Small there
UFC.
Of UFC, thank you very
Kamza
much.
Kamza Chimaev.
You know, I was like, this guy is going to rock trickers. And I was like, what would happen if Australia beat South Africa?
Mm.
And then, Kunja, what else? Then there was Sundowns. Then there was Manchester and Arsenal.
They know cricket as well.
No, I think Proteas won.
Did they? Thank God.
But Sundowns ended in a draw. Sundowns
was a draw. But I was just like, I just had this feeling. I'd be bowling.
Well, I thought that the Sundowns draw was also good. Because they've also been on a bit of a high.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's nice as well when your big teams either draw or the favorite doesn't win.
Character building.
Character building, yes. Look, the Khamzat one, like, I don't know. I thought Trickers would lose, but I really thought he'd have a fighting chance. It's just that Khamzat, all of those Dagestani wrestlers, dude, they basically lie on top of you for the duration of the fight.
I believe in anyone against Trickers.
I'm
not about him.
Look, not about him.
I'm anti.
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with from a skill perspective, like in a fighting sport, toe to toe. Does he have a chance? Does he not have a chance?
Maybe you
don't support him, but I'm saying they were on the floor literally like 90% of the match.
That the strategy was no essentially just don't let him fight you.
Wrestling.
Yeah.
But guys, time it's up. Mixed martial arts. Doesn't mean it's a boxing match now. I must
mixed. Punch. There was no mix there.
No,
there
was only I was punching knees, giving knees and hugging on the
hugging,
floor.
But the hugging was most of it. Just, it's boring, bro. The thing is, when the main event happens, you want to see sparks fly. I'm a casual fan. Me, I want to see O's moor each other. I don't want to see O's lying on top of each other.
I couldn't mistake that for you.
I'll move from UFC, I'll go to Pornhub.
Sorry.
Can't operate.
But you know. No, bro. What I hear, and I saw all of those comments, and I was like, but guys, it's mixed martial arts, right? Mm. Now, just because the one didn't involve Muay Thai and the other one wants to box, bro, the same way in which Australia, I don't want to say same way, but on the premise of that, they beat us. They studied our game.
Mm.
They knew that these guys are going to do lineouts midfield.
Yes.
They knew that.
They
knew
these guys are going to get tired because we were tired. Like, Oaks weren't even chasing. You know, like,
that, there's
it's
that
not
other,
the box that
yeah,
I know.
There's that other try where the one guy gave up halfway.
Bro,
I said,
bro,
and he just started jogging.
Bro, I was like, yo, dog.
Also, you're like in the back line. You're running after a forward.
And the guy was injured. That guy was like, no, I hope this nigga doesn't catch me. Like, come on.
And then he was like, Cobra.
Yeah. So for me, study your opponent, you know, and I think either Trickus went into that thinking, I'm going to knock the fuck out of this guy.
Mm.
And that clearly didn't happen. And this guy was like, oh, cool. You are weak on the floor.
Yeah,
punch,
let me just
punch,
lay on
knee,
you.
Knee.
Knee, knee, elbow, elbow.
Character.
Hey, he came out there. Yo, he came out there looking character built.
Yeah. No, even his comments were character building. So, yeah, you know. But anyways, that was all of us sporting weekend.
And was said.
Yeah. Before
football is back. That's all I'm happy about.
Football is back. You are happy. Chelsea
Drew,
fan,
yeah,
huh?
Drew, 0-0.
Chelsea, hardcore Chelsea fan. Do you know what she calls Chelsea?
What? Home.
The best team in the world.
FIFA calls Chelsea the best team in the world.
I didn't make that decision.
There's a trophy at Stamford Bridge that's made that decision. Oh, what do you support?
You guys won the Club World Cup.
You give United vibes.
I'm not public about it.
I get why.
It's much like Kaiser Chiefs.
Kaiser Chiefs, I'm not public about it. When they ask me, who do you support? I'm just like,
soccer. Go sports.
I love the sport. Go
made
sports.
May the best team win.
But besides that, a lot has been happening in our country. And
yes,
I think
that's
the reason
why we brought
why
you here,
in,
Jack.
Because what the fuck?
Yo, what's happening?
A lot is happening. I think we've got videos to support our first conversation. Wandy,
please play the Rasta.
We've got the Rasta, we've got
the Rasta.
I didn't I read it, I didn't see it. So this is my first time seeing it.
Dog after lunch, please, that's what we're here.
Oh wait, this is the colored timer.
Mm. Colleagues, comrades and friends, we will be back in...
Check the sign.
We will be back at 3:15. That is 14:45. Thank you so much.
Okay, everyone.
Listen,
have a good lunch.
The government has not kept his commitment. They are liars. They want you to go out so that we cannot address you on the crimes of the government. This government.
Sign language. Calf.
Hey,
and they're like, yo, stop translating shit, bro.
The audio guy was also sleeping on the job. Why did they allow that to go on?
They
for
didn't just
long?
Cut the audio of the mic, they cut the audio of the broadcast.
Look.
Like.
I think
Guys, the Open Chats podcast has caused problems for everyone. Now color timers are taking matters into their own hands and they're like, look here.
Oh my
look
God.
Look here.
Yo, Jack said one request.
What?
Let's not get her in trouble, please.
No,
let's not get her in trouble.
Amasha had one request.
Let's not get her in trouble. Look.
Yeah.
I think what's happening in this country, you know, think Kwanazi, think these conversations that are happening outside of what we would call like a regulated conversation, right? Where guys are like, actually,
normal way of doing
this. Yes. Guys are now just saying, actually, no, hold on. People are tired, first and foremost. I think people are tired.
Being tired.
Yo. And I'm glad that it sparked these conversations, not in the most, not in the normal way. Mm. And that time is voicing his heartfelt, like...
Frustration,
you know? And I think that we've got other videos as well, but...
Mm. Also, I know Time was like that. He, at home, nobody respects him. You know what I mean? He's
Warwick,
at the time.
Warwick,
I'm telling
no,
guys,
man.
Bro, I
Let's
have uncles like this.
Dog, come on.
Oh, shame. And now he's coming there and he's like, you know what? I'm going to do this. And then they're like, oh, no, sorry. We're breaking for lunch. What the fuck? He's prepped a speech. He's brought it on behalf of a whole community of people. And then you're like, pause your speech. We're going for lunch. I feel him.
We've all done events here, no?
Yeah.
I think a lot of the issues that were happening here were because this thing was poorly planned.
Extremely poorly
planned. Horribly. Yeah.
So I think more than just like, oh, I don't want to hear what H is going to say, what Jax is going to say, whatever. It's quite literally, you could say those underhanded things that are probably happening, like trying to shut down one community.
Yes, and God
you can
lunch.
Say that. Mm. But we don't know that. For real. So I have to just chuck it down to poor planning and rushing this thing because there's pressure in the whole country. Because, I mean, guys, the national dialogue has been a conversation for about 9 years when Thabo Mbeki first brought it up.
Sure.
That we need to start engaging the average South African on how to better what's happening in the country. And he kept reiterating it. And 8 years later, and then last year while they were campaigning, he said, guys, there's a need for a national dialogue. And it was largely ignored. You know, I think Cyril Ramaphosa first spoke about, President Cyril Ramaphosa first spoke about it in 2018-19. And it had a different name. I can't remember what it was. And it was smaller in scale. And
Was it not New Dawn? The New Dawn
no,
chat?
No, it was, I forgot the name now. I was reading about it this morning.
The New Dawn Dialogue.
I'm glad you missed that.
NDD.
Huh?
Yeah.
And so it's been largely ignored. And you've got President Thabo Mbeki kind of dropping Easter eggs there, like we should have this national dialogue. And then he speaks about it again last year when they eventually win, and then it goes quiet because it was meant to be done last year.
Yeah.
And then only now that you're edging towards 2026 municipal elections, you're like, oh, let's do that thing again.
Mm. But when you say that, are you saying, like, honestly, yes, it's poorly planned. I think the question is, why is it poorly? Is it poorly planned by mistake or is it poorly planned on purpose? Because it's almost like they're just doing it now because they said they were going to do it. But what makes me uncomfortable is the cost that it comes at. Mm. If the national dialogue was free and it was poorly planned, I'd be prepared to overlook it. I'd be like, you know what, shit happens. Maybe there wasn't a team put in place to run this thing.
Sure.
Or maybe the people that put it together, it's their first time doing an event on this magnitude.
No. Mm.
But now it's like, you've got 450 million rand to work with, really and truly.
Isn't
who are
more?
You paying?
It's more.
Well, 450 on the low end, 700 on the high.
Let's not spread fake news.
Yeah.
It hasn't been confirmed.
It hasn't been confirmed, but the last I know of, allegedly it was brought down to 450 bar.
Yeah.
The point is, it's enough money to put together a team of people who know what they're doing, who can stick to time and can schedule this thing properly. The scheduling was a mess. If you watch other clips, it's like, coming up next to speak is PH. And then it's like, no, it's not PH, it's Jax. Okay, sorry, it's Jax. No, it's not Jax. Who Jax Ageko? Okay, who can we put? Nangwaras. Please come up. You understand? Then it's like, nah, man, what's going on? Who's confirming? You know how an event works, H. If we're looking at the DJ lineup, we know who's on at what time.
Horrible, horrible example.
No,
horrible
example. No, dude, Fagzo could run a DJ lineup.
Horrible example. Guys don't make it to their shows.
Fagzo could run the lineup of speakers.
Guys don't make it to their shows.
Hey.
Horrible example.
So
but I hear you. Let me call
Yeah.
Right.
So my thing is, Jax, can we just safely say, this thing is just a money grab and they just want to get it over and done with. Otherwise, they would have put the effort in, bro.
No, well, look, you can assume that, but assumptions make an ass out of you and me. That literally spells assume.
Yes,
but
yes,
this is a safe assumption.
But you can assume that. I mean, you've had, in the past week, you had the Nelson Mandela Foundation pulled out last year already. Walter Sisulu Foundation, Thabo Mbeki Foundation.
DA.
That's another beast. But Shab, you've got all these foundations who were supposed, who almost ideated this thing and have been championing for this thing to happen. And then they all pull out because they're saying, this is poorly planned. It's not enough time. It's rushed. You know, you've got other organizations. I'm just naming these major ones. You've got other organizations that are saying you can't just, you know, just put out a date and not inform us.
And we must be there.
And we must be there. This thing is supposed to be citizen-led.
Yes.
So the priority is not necessarily having the president speak or whatever, but you're supposed to be having a dialogue, right? If we're going to talk about crime, I expect to see the Minister of Police there. I expect to see the police commissioner there.
Yes. I expect to see Mkhwanazi there.
Maybe Mkhwanazi.
No, but you maybe when it goes to KZN, let's observe protocol. Maybe when it goes to KZN, then you expect to see Mkhwanazi there as well, right?
Because he's in charge there.
So when I stand up Amahle and I say, you know, the crime rate is 3 times bad as most countries that are in war, for example, silly stat. I think they said 30 times more worse than the Ukraine, the number of people who are murdered in South Africa. And we're talking about a country that's at war. I'm now expecting the Minister of Police to respond to me and tell me why that is. Sure. Tell me the issues that you're going through. Tell me, you know, are you lacking funding in the ministry? What's happening? That's a dialogue. Because it almost feels as if we're kind of just repeating.
Everyone's there to list their problems. No one's there to respond.
But none of this is new information.
I wanted to jump in there and say, but it's not like ministers and the bodies below them don't know that these are the issues on the ground. That's why you have subcategories of positions before you get
minister, deputy, DG.
Yes, and then regional thingies that address the regional issues of that particular, you know, area where it's like in the Eastern Cape we've got knife.
Crime.
I'm just making an example. And Ngapa, it's illegal guns, and there's a drug problem in this province, and this, that, the other. Those guys know that. So yes, I get citizens, you know, having a conversation with these higher bodies, but they know this stuff.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily to say, and this is almost the catch-22, right? We sit and we complain about how we're not involved. You know, it's almost as if like there's these barriers to entry where kind of like, after I cast my vote, what happens after that, right? So you could also argue that, you know, there is a need for this. For example, China's done this before. They did it for their 15th five-year plan when they were looking at 2026 to 2030. Where what China did, which is, something I think we should adopt, is that they created a website. And they ask people to submit problems and solutions.
Who's going to tender for that website? Yeah,
and they're gonna have
CCP boss.
And then they had over 3 million people submit suggestions and this and grievances and whatnot and all that other stuff. And then they take that and they're compiling it and they're going to implement it in their 2026-2030 plan, right? So I think there is a need for dialogue, a national dialogue. We did a national dialogue in the 1990s. That's how. That's how the country that we live in now came about, and that's how we decided our policies and all that other stuff. So it's not to say that it's a national dialogue is a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just that we maybe don't have as much faith in the country, because the question I think we shouldn't be asking ourselves is not if the national dialogue is important or not. It's how we're going to implement those suggestions and if they're going to be implemented. And then that's where South Africans feel like this is useless. It's not that we don't want our voices to be heard. It's about the after. After I've spoken, we've spoken, I've said, okay, we need to build toilets, we need to do this. Are you going to actually do it? That's when it feels like it's starting to become a fruitless exercise, and that's what causes, you know, anxiety and just like...
What you've just said is the most I've heard about this thing since I heard the word national dialogue. It wasn't explained properly, and I consume more news than the average person. It wasn't explained properly. All I know is it costs 700 million and they're going to talk. And because South Africans are suffering from national anything fatigue, national commission fatigue. Sure. When yeah. you say it's going to be a thing, people are coming to talk. I'm like, ah, Malin.
Mm.
And then I hear 700 million, yeah, immediately.
And then no results as well.
Yes, and then no results, as you say.
Yeah.
Where now I kind of have a better understanding of what the point is. So it's well-intentioned.
Mm. Sure. Yeah.
Everybody leaving is obviously not a good sign.
Yeah.
Because there's another clip there, Wandy. Just play this other clip. I imagine anyone from any organization can join.
Yeah.
So this brewer stood up and he spoke.
Soldiers, we are on the ground. All of you here have bodyguards. We don't have bodyguards. We had a colleague who came here from 3 a.m. in the morning.
All right, thank you so much.
We know what's happening on the ground. And if you say it's a national dialogue for us, you can't shut us down. It's sad that you are here because 2026 elections are coming. So you're trying to buy our silence.
All right, thank you so much. Let's give that a hand. And then I'm just going to pause here because this is what we want. This is the dialogue we have been called to do. We are in plenary. We're not going to go into dialogue now because I'm going to give you the reason.
This is not a dialogue. I have a question, ma'am.
I have a question.
No, I have a question before anybody.
Excuse me.
No, excuse me. Excuse me. First, you need to read the pedagogy of the oppressed. This process must be dialogical. It must not be one-sided. You don't come to talk down on us here. Number one. Number two, we are four members of the Rastafari community here. We are all bundled up into one theme. We represent a nation of Rastafari, of 3 million South African Rastafarians. We can't go under one theme. We have issues that cut across everything that needs to be dialogued here. You don't decide for us. Nothing for us without us. Simple as that. And for the last time, this is a dialogue. Spend more time listening to us than telling us what to do. Stop talking down on us.
The people are tired.
No, but I was going to say, so you see that that is not a dialogue. That was a venting session. Mm. And if you look at most of the people who did get that mic, if you go through all the clips, everyone was venting.
Mm.
They were shouting at, I don't know who's that poor white auntie. But she's just, you know, she's like the
facilitator.
And she's trying to say, okay, we're going to do this now. But she's also getting these instructions blow by blow. You know what I'm saying? She doesn't know what's going on herself. I kind of feel like, I was trying to understand, can any organization or foundation join the national dialogue? Because now I didn't know where the Rastas even came from.
So that's the idea and the premise of it, right? Is to have every creed and color in the sense that, I think it was over 200 organizations over 33 sectors.
Okay.
You know, there were some obviously organizations who complained that they didn't know how to get access to the national dialogue. But the idea was that you've got every kind of South African represented. And that's why I say when I said this national dialogue is meant to be citizen led, right?
See.
So it's not about people who are necessarily aligned with education or healthcare or whatnot. It's every kind of person. So you've got traditional leaders, church leaders,
Rastas,
Rastafarians, if you're talking from a culture perspective, from an employment, from a labor perspective, you've got every kind, teacher, doctor,
every
nurse,
industry,
da, da, da.
Yeah.
It's meant to be as the broadest meeting you could possibly have.
They didn't have baddies, yeah. DJs, and creators there.
But you're supposed to have those, right? Because
they're a community.
That's an industry.
An industry. Yeah. It's an industry that employs people. You know, it's an industry that suffered. Suffered really badly after 2020 and has barely recovered.
Post COVID,
right? And has barely recovered. So, and I think that's maybe where the other organizations who were initially involved in this pulled out is to say, it's not as well organized as I need it, as I think this thing would be. I'm not going to attach my name to it.
Yeah.
Right?
Or maybe they saw that the DJ's baddie organization. They were like, palms are wheeling up.
Sure. Yeah, well, look, I think with all that being said, I just hope that we find some sort of progress from this, you know. It's a great start. I'm happy, especially with how you've just explained it now. I think I'll apply more keen interest into it.
Mm.
Is it done?
No. So essentially what we go to now is, and I think that's also another thing, this thing was never going to happen over
a weekend.
But
we've got to restart now. I mean, what do you mean is it done, bro? We've got to start again.
Sure. So essentially the idea now is that the people who are, let's call it the National Dialogue Committee, because I'm not sure of the name yet, are now going to go to different metros, different wards.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go to venues that are donated to try and bring down that cost. Churches, whatever, to now collect and interview...
With communities
all over South Africa. Sure. That's
having a list of some sorts of problems. Yeah. So when they get there, they say, hey, guys,
Mang
was at the dialogue... Apparently, there's an issue with...
How do you think we should solve it? Yeah. What are the issues in this specific community and so on and so forth?
Mm.
And that's meant to last about 6 to 8 months. And then we're meant to then have the second conference that kind of informs all that collection of that data into that to now communicate to the rest of South Africa. Okay, this is what we've done. Once again, once all of that has been collected, what is the next step?
That now the price tag is starting to make sense.
I thought it's a convention center, two weeks. To be fair to the government, and I'm really fair to them.
You just said that.
I'm really fair to them, but let me speak objectively.
Yeah.
Unless this thing was done online like the Chinese government did, you were never going to be able to have this conversation without a very big price tag to it, right? And that I guess that is more of the conversation as to why haven't we found a cheaper way to do this, right? But at the same time, if you say you're going to start open an app, what about the Gogo in Mafikeng?
Can't afford the data.
You know, we have to also kind of look and apply it to our own country and say, what is the most feasible thing that can happen in order for this thing to work, right?
Mm.
I go home to Ezlalin. I'm fighting for my life with network.
Mm.
Okay, one day it's, yay! Ume ecingweni, dog. Like, there's one spot, they even put a stone there. There's one spot. I have to hit this one.
Got you.
You know what I mean? So... South Africa is still very much a very rural community.
Yeah.
So those considerations have to be taken in accordance. And with how big this endeavor is, it was always going to cost money. But we want an accountable
committee. It's almost like, we don't mind paying, but we need to know where the money is going.
Yeah, and
unfortunately, the custodians of that money are also the custodians of every other nyaga that's
hence the
fatigue.
And you'll always have to look at, because things are so down bad, you'll always say to yourself, 720 million for all of us to speak about the problems that we already know?
Mm.
Or can that be redirected to be given to health so more doctors are hired? You know, and I think that's where the tension also rises. It's not that we are not familiar with our problems.
Yeah.
You know, when I use the Chinese example, you must remember China's up. So they can afford to.
They're organized. And if you stand up in China and have a rant like that, you won't be seen again.
Exactly. Yeah.
New to betting? Easybet.co.za makes it simple, fun and exciting, even if it's your first time. Sign up now and score 50 Rand sign-up bonus with no deposit needed. Just use the promo code SHADYPH, SHADYPH, and it's yours instantly. If you're looking for more, your first deposit gets you a 150% bonus up to 1,500 Rand. That's more to play with and bigger chances to win. But wait, there's more. EasyBet will match your first bet up to 500 Rand, so you're getting extra play without extra spend. Even if luck's not on your side, they'll give you back 15% of your losing bets every week. Now that's backing real players. And the best part, there's even more waiting when you join. So head on over to easybet.co.za now and check it out for yourself. T's and C's apply. EasyBet Group Pty Limited is licensed and regulated by the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. No persons under the age of 18 may gamble, and winners know when to stop.
Speaking of, China. No, yeah. China. No. China. I just obviously wanted to use what you just mentioned now as a point of segueing, you know, where as South Africa, we still struggle with lack of infrastructure. And something that has been happening, you know, this past weekend is the lack of progress when it comes to public transport, which is obviously, we've seen the Uber, e-hailing versus, The e-hailing versus, taxi conversation where, obviously where this all stemmed from was that one guy, the two cars that got burnt in Soweto outside Maponya Mall.
And I think one guy
died. And then one guy, the 27-year-old guy from KZN.
Traums, bro, because he was still in the car.
Burning. He was in the car, he got burnt alive. Mm. And that has obviously now sparked reactions from communities, but also now from the taxi industry where these guys are saying, oh, okay, cool. Mm. Okay. You know, but also now you've got people saying, well, you're not going to go drop me off at OR Tambo as a taxi. You're not going to fetch me from the club at 2 a.m. and drop me off at my door. Mm. A lot of the things that you guys are fighting for don't even provide as a service, you know?
Mm. And also in the Eastern Cape. Was it the Eastern Cape where they were taking people out of cars?
I'll get to that now. But also another thing that, you know, that they were talking about, it was the bullying of
carpools.
Of carpools, right? And then I think one more, sorry, I lost my train of thought, but another thing when it came to the taxis were, oh my God, I forgot the thought. But anyways, long story short, obviously it's just like there's the advanced
service is
Yes. Oh yeah, and the fact that, one point that I had seen online was that Santaco is not, like the taxi industry is not like a state-owned. I'm thinking you are much like an e-hailing service.
They're a private company.
Yeah, you're a private company. Yeah. You know, that's just
association.
You know? Yeah, so you're actually this high and mighty ground that you think you're on. You're much like these guys as well, who just offer a more convenient
way of
thingy. And I think obviously it sparked a debate, and I want to get your guys' take. Leave this guy.
No,
I was just gonna look. My thing is, I know that. The taxi industry runs the place.
Police. Yeah.
They have the numbers. Sure. They own the majority of the infrastructure, being the cars, the vehicles. They transport the
country.
Working workforce. People. Yeah. They are the workforce. So you can't, you know, if they just say, okay, fine, we'll switch off for 2 days, the economy would take a hit in the billions, hundreds of billions. Mm. Right? And e-hailing will not cover that.
Sure.
I think what's unfair is like when they start bullying at the, like, the carpool bullying. Mm-hmm. You know, the Eastern Cape clip I saw, they were stopping every car and they were like, about 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. Puman, whose car is this? No, it's my car. Hi, when I jump in a taxi. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, I don't want to jump in a taxi. Sure. We're going to work together or whatever. That's where it starts getting ridiculous. But remember, you've got, I empathize with Santaco. The guys that they're having the conversation with who are the senior leadership. Sure. Are not the guys that are pulling people out of cars.
Sure.
And it's so massive that by the time the news gets to the top, Uguti, they're pulling people out of cars in Eastern Cape.
Damages.
It's like, oh, okay, Aboban, no Abojax. Mm. Ah, now we've got to get on it and sort it out. But by that stage, it's already snowballed because people again have this fatigue of the taxi industry where it's like, you guys do whatever the fuck you want, whenever you want. If you want to burn someone, you're going to burn someone.
We let them do whatever on the roads even. My mom gets shot every time.
That's it.
When I'm driving a job, I'm like, you don't drive for yourself. You drive for the taxi driver in front of you. He can stop at any moment.
Sure.
which is the littlest thing all the way to the biggest thing.
Yeah. Mm.
They do whatever they want.
So I always like to take things back to governance and regulation. Right? Because a society is built on laws and how those laws are enforced.
Sure.
The taxi association or Santaco, whoever, have taken advantage of a situation that has become profitable for them. Right? Mm-hmm. We are a capitalistic world. They've taken advantage of that. Unless there's human rights violations, I'm just like, okay, what now?
What can we do?
What can you do, right? Because what has happened is that we've left the taxi industry largely unregulated.
100%.
There is very little to no enforcement on anything that they do. Mm. I mean, dude, you'll be driving and the JMPD is driving past the taxi that is doing
skipping
the most
a
illegal
red,
thing.
Yeah, it's got no door.
So there's no rules of law in this country, right? So and I don't know if you saw my Insta when one of my friends was complaining about taxis in general, right? And she was just complaining about, like, they're creating ranks everywhere and, you know, they do whatever they want.
There's a rank opposite Gautrain station in Sandton. Well, not a rank, but they're just like, oh, we'll park here, it's fine.
Yeah, so for me, you know, you constantly always shouting at a naughty child when you don't put up the rules to make sure that the naughty child stops being naughty. Mm. I think it was
you hit the child.
Yeah, I think it was someone in Cape Town who said that the fast lanes now has now been reserved for taxis,
buses,
e-hailing buses and stuff like that. Let's enforce that. Let's start making measures that assist everyone involved. Mm. You have less accidents. You have, you know, you just have less frustrations from people. You know, if you look at that corner, Benmore, Greyston. Like,
nightmare.
Why has that been, you know?
That been commandeered?
You understand? And I'm not saying, and I just want to make sure I stress that I'm not saying that there is no need for taxis. There's a great need for taxis in this country. But the reason taxis have allowed to do what they want is because the one half of public transport was compromised. And that was trains, and that was buses, and that was because all of all those failed. That was PRASA and Metro all those bus. Failed tenders. Mm. And then a heavy reliance happened on taxi industries, right. And then they became the monopoly, and now you can't tell them what to do. Mm. Because like you're saying, H, if those, remember when those guys say, we're striking, the whole country, right? Mm. So for me, it always goes back to leadership. I'm sorry, like, for me, everything always has to start from the top. Like, the answers and the solutions lie at the top. You guys are the ones that are in charge, enforce the rules and regulations.
Well, I'll remind you of the last conversation that happened between leadership and taxis. The taxis got there and told them what to do.
I saw a video.
You know, like from a government. Remember Fikile Mbalula's chat with the taxi association when he was the minister? They were just like, cool story, bro.
And then, it was a team.
Yeah, what remember it was do? About money after COVID.
I remember, and brand new taxis and roadworthy. There we go. I remember that.
The only conversation between leadership and taxis that I've seen go leadership's ways was Mkhwanazi. Remember he had that standoff with them, and he said, he said, yeah, segwe impi. Then they were like, no,
we don't want to fight.
Because they knew, you understand?
Yeah.
Mm. And that's, let's say they said, sharp, let's fight.
But if we're talking about power dynamics, then as a state, you need to show power. I'm sorry.
Hard, bro. Leave that. Sorry, guys. I saw a video this morning, I think on my way here, where I don't know if it was the army that it was deployed, but it was one of those, you know, brown big trucks.
Mm. Yeah.
Guys that blocked the road. And these guys, you know, they come out with their big guns, and the taxi guys were like, okay, what's the story here? Mm. Police were there. And I think if you fast forward into that video later, these guys are now saying, you guys aren't going to shoot us. Also, who the hell are you to tell me what to do? I'm just like, you're a taxi driver telling an army, someone from the army who could potentially end your life that, fuck you, you're not going to do anything to me.
No, because this is not a serious country. I keep telling you guys.
But I won't say any names. PH knows the guy. Mm. Right? There's a guy, you know which guy.
Sure.
Last week, was arrested. Okay. Mm. I'm like, why did he get arrested? He's like, no, this taxi driver goes in the emergency lane, overtakes all of us, shoop, shoop, shoop. And then when he gets to the front, what does he do? He actually wants to turn right. Mm. So he's going across three lanes, turns right. We didn't think he's going to turn. We went because the robot was green. Scrapes my boss's car. This is not my car. It's a company car I've been given. This is a new job. The car is now scraped. The bumper is hanging off. But he stopped up there. So he says, when I got to him, I wasn't trying to talk. Mm. You understand what I'm saying? Beat the shit out of him, took his key, murdered him some more, carried on, went to work. Sure. What does he do, the taxi driver? Mm. He goes to the police station, he opens a case, he gets a J88 form, like a bitch.
Mm.
You understand? A lot of what they do.
After being lawless.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Mm. The thing about... This is in my personal experience with taxi drivers, and here's a good example that happened last week. They hide behind this banner of, we are taxi drivers. So we as ordinary people, must all fear them.
And abide to their rules.
Mm-hmm. But when somebody actually does put their foot down, like PH is saying, they were like, oh, but you're not going to shoot us.
Mm.
You understand? Fucking clap them.
Mm.
Because you understand what...
No, I understand what you're saying.
It's also like, look at who you're dealing with.
Oh,
you're not dealing with the kids here.
Sure.
You're dealing with very aggressive drivers who act aggressive because they're like, no, you're going to stop at the point at which you're like, oh, wait, it's a taxi driver. No, it's not.
But I would caution against that, because then that becomes a consistent revolving door of lawlessness.
Yes.
No, not citizens. I'm not saying citizens.
Yeah, because Alberto.
I'm saying law enforcement.
In English, it's Alberto.
No, not citizens.
Zawudula unye.
100%.
And that man is going to
get... The guy I made the example of as well, he's built to Moore. I'm not saying as an ordinary citizen, don't do it. In fact, I always say to my girlfriend, I said, don't even hoot. Just shut up.
Yeah.
Cut you off, carry on going. Because you're going to hoot and say, what the fuck? And he's going to get out he's going to smack you.
That's why, guys, you know, it all goes back down to enforcement. When your law enforcement is weak and your judiciary is weak and all these other things are weak, you create a banana republic. You know, people have been screaming about banana republic. South Africa is a banana republic since before 2010, right?
Banana.
But you see now, we are truly living in times of whatever.
Banana,
you
know, like,
and so if you can't, and that's why I say enforcement is the most important thing. It, whether we're speaking about taxi drivers, whether we're speaking about GBV, whatever we're speaking about, if there's no enforcement in the country, throw the whole thing away.
It's a mess. I think, yeah, I'm just looking at the clock. Mm. We'll get to it. Sorry, we don't have our sand. None of our days of our lives. Our clock. I think two conversations I want to get into, and something that I just saw over the weekend now was, and you know, we're speaking of money collection. I saw, was it the Zulu monarch that wants more money from the government? Or?
Yo.
Hey.
I'm close.
Well, first and foremost, it wasn't him. It wasn't him. It was the advisor, I think, who made the announcement.
Sure.
But he was saying if every Zulu person can contribute 10 rand. Yeah, bo.
For what?
Yeah, towards the king, towards the monarchy.
To do what?
Who already gets the most contribution out of
to
all
our king vibe?
But what is, I'm trying to understand here. What?
I don't know.
Because I saw something about for them to be an independent monarch or something like that. Yes?
Yes.
I just saw the headline.
I think it's because the monarch, all monarchies get money from the government every year, yes?
Yes, they do. They do.
But then, is that money subject to you must do X, Y, and Z?
Because I assume you must help your communities. Yeah. That's hence the Zulu.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm Zulu and I've got my tin. Yeah.
Aren't you? Sorry.
Hi, Andy Zingeni. I'm Xhosa. My king is Dalindyebo.
Shout out Dalindyebo. Dalindyebo.
So if Dalindyebo, right? So can I ask if King Dalindyebo has to say, "Yo, 10 rand each, Oaks"?
Let me tell you something.
Is it something you'd be prepared to look at to say, "Okay, cool, I get it. I'm comfortable paying the 10 rand."
A Xhosa person, I'm sure she could echo. I'm sure she could even ask the same question. Busenzani before ndunike le mali? Yeah, le mali. What were you doing with it?
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'll also say, when it comes to our king, as as controversial as he is at times, remember when the kids from Walter Sisulu University, one of them was shot by a security guard or something like that?
Yeah.
And then they had to have that emergency court case happening at 1 a.m. or whatever the case may be. They woke up King Dalindyebo and he was in court there listening, saying, "Why?" And he was there in front of the media making calls for actions or whatever.
He pulled up.
Yeah, he pulled up. I'm not saying he's a good, I'm not saying he's the greatest leader or whatever. What I'm saying is that's why I kept asking you, for what? Right? I can't speak on Zulu issues.
Sure.
And but I would love to know what the plan is, because the headline I saw was quite brief for something about for independence. Independence from what? And maybe a better question would be asked is, how does the Zulu monarchy help its people to start off with, as H is saying? So, yeah, I don't have much to say on that.
Yeah,
I've said a lot already.
I don't want to say too much, because I was in Durban this weekend. I was eating meat and everyone was calling me Bafo.
Bafo? Hey, Bafo. Something that you can speak on is Jacks of all trades.
Oh.
Yeah? Really? Something that...
Jote.
Tell us. I mean, a year ago, you were probably stressing about job applications, ticket numbers,
artists,
DJs arriving.
Our DJ's going to be on time.
Our DJ's going to make it to our show.
H is always on time. H is always on time. I respect you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Your life, is it a 180, a 360?
It's 180. What's the next lit?
Yeah?
Your time.
No. People say, the reason I'm saying, people say 360 is like, okay, well, you went to the same place.
End up in the same place.
It's a 180.
It's a 180.
Those people did meds lit.
Yeah. Man, yeah, your life has literally changed for the greatest, I think, you know.
Yeah, I think so too.
We, as events people, I mean, we're always stressed. We're always stressing about
something.
Support
for Chelsea, you're pretty much perfect.
Including that stress, you know. And now you are your opinion matters to the country, you know, where it's like something happens, it's like, no, we don't trust institutions that have been there for years and years and years. We don't want to watch the news. We don't want to watch any of these things. We want to, you know, get her opinion, which is great. I think one of the greatest things, or even me, I'm just like, okay, I'll wait for her summary. you know, your opinion matters countrywide. You spark you know, debates, you spark obviously conversations. You're not creating content for, you know, brands are knocking on your door left, right, and center.
You're eating man.
We're eating man. Yeah, like, what's happening? What's happening?
No,
yeah,
I mean,
and how do we find ourselves here? Yeah.
Actually, I think we've spoken about this a lot. Events are hard. Events became even harder after
COVID.
But I also think I had studied politics, philosophy, and economics. That's where my keen interest is in life. Okay. That's what my degree is in. And
go to school. Don't be a bitch. Go to school.
Leave and also, if you're going to go to school, people have been asking me, like, should I do politics? Should I do this? My mom wants me to be a doctor. Unemployment is so high, you might as well do what you want.
Sure.
So, yeah, I had a really good lecturer last year, second half, because I'm back at school now doing my honors, the course was international relations and media.
Sure.
And he's quite a young lecturer, and he kind of broke down traditional media and how that can be influenced by the powers that be.
Wolf-Walsh?
Yeah, I didn't want to mention his name.
Caesar Wolf-Walsh.
Oh, SMWX.
Yeah, he was my lecturer. And his course was brilliant. It was, we went into the whole traditional media and all that other stuff and, you know, how it influences, how it can be influenced by ownership, by advertisers, by, you know, government as well to speak through them, you know. And then he also did like TikTok and podcasting and his course was brilliant. It was very new age. It was, you know.
And he lives his course and it works.
Yeah, you know, and it was very interesting what we were speaking about. And I thought to myself, I mean, I'd wanted to start a podcast for a while. It was a thing. But it was that course that kind of just like pushed me towards that kind of whole thing.
Don't you think it's also just the perfect time for it?
Yeah.
Because we have a political landscape where there's so much to come. You'll never run out of content.
Exactly.
Sure. And because we can't believe anything that they say, we need more jokes.
Yeah. More relatability. And I also found that people have not necessarily been engaged in politics and stuff because traditional media and all these other places, they do a great job, by the way. Like journalists, we need journalists in the world.
Not all of them.
But they have a tendency of using jargon and big words that most South Africans just don't understand and can't relate to. And I think where the world is moving now, there has to be some form of adaptability in media to speak to the youth, even if it's one segment on a show, on E-News or whatever the case may be, where you're just breaking it down for them to understand. And so, yeah, I kind of saw that. Obviously, didn't anticipate it becoming what it's become.
Sure.
I mean, I woke up and then in 3 days I had 100,000 followers. I freaked out.
They bullied you.
I had a panic attack.
Sure.
So it begs the question, will we see you in politics?
No, not anytime soon. No, I think I'm well poised where I am.
Sure.
I think.
But who's going to lead us, Chex, if you don't want to lead us?
I think it also requires a certain personality that I don't think I've necessarily built yet.
Sure.
I'm still a very emotional person. I'm still very attached and,
you could possibly also be too honest.
Ethics and morals.
Bro. If you've got ethics and morals, it's not the game for you.
Because they'll infiltrate you there. Okay, cool. So it's the podcast, content creation.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
TikTok, where we break down. So it's split into three. Instagram, we're having fun. Sure. I'm doing brand work. I do believe in a separation of church and state.
Love it.
TikTok, it's where I'm speaking about the national dialogue, budget speech, that kind of serious talk. And then the podcast is more in between of all those things. So I did an episode of like, if South African government was Groove, where I explained the different levels of government and the branches using a festival. And that kind of is, with the podcast, I'm kind of just figuring out what do people actually want to hear from me outside of the stuff that's political. And then, Skela.
And no more events.
You won't catch me.
No more events.
Like, I'll do one or two. You know what I mean? Like, if H calls me, he's like, Jax, I need a production manager. I'm in doom. Your highest invoice that you've ever seen, but I'll come.
Got
you. I'll do it. I did enjoy that period of my life. It was really good. It also made me understand people.
Yes.
From all walks of life. I think that's what we nyats about events, is that they bring us together with a variety of different people and you get access to the people and you learn their habits, what influences them, and that kind of knowledge and insight.
Sure.
So I'm really grateful to that part of my life, until but...
Adios to that.
Ndala Asian, the one.
Got you. She is, I would love to say the greatest, well, she is the greatest of all time.
Every joke is a goat in the making.
I was trying to get to that, but she said it. How's it, South Africa? Listen, go out and show her love everywhere on all the socials, TikTok. What's your YouTube page again?
Jacks of all trades.
Yeah, Jacks of all trades. I love the podcast. I subscribe. It's a wide variety of guests and conversation, which she has, which is amazing. And get to experience her in person and get to experience all the takes that she has. And I think it's very relatable, which I love. But I've been very privileged and fortunate enough to know her off screen. And she's
the dote.
Yeah, she's a dote. But yeah, thank you very much for gracing us with your time.
I'm excited to see this. I never really watch the interview post, but I'm excited to see this one. how's it gonna go? And congratulations to you guys. This is a great platform.
And you made it all the way through without getting cancelled. So
yes,
we don't know. We'll see tomorrow. Find the taxi association outside my house.
Thank you for showing us some love. Hit us up and show some love in the comments. Like, subscribe, listen on all the platforms, Spotify. What is the other one?
Apple Podcasts.
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok.
All of the works. Yeah.
Yes.
We're out of here. Take it easy.
And if it's easy, take it home.
I don't believe in that shit, but we say.
Anyways. For the youngsters. We do it for the youth.
We're out.